Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 22nd day of August, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting for the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is something big is on the horizon, living under Yahweh's laws, and more. Before we begin, we do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen out there, Shumai, and welcome to the program. We do welcome callers. We ask that you wait for just a bit before you start hitting the buttons to make comments or ask questions. And when you do that, we ask that you keep it as short as possible in order that most other folks can participate. However, if it takes more time, that's okay too, but we're just saying be mindful of the other folks out there that want to partake in the program. We are in the question and answer mode, so those on telephones, you would use a *6 if you want to ask a question. Those on their computers, you would use the Q&A button or icon. We want to remind you of the website, www.pastordan.net. That's where we keep our schedule of radio shows that are coming up. We also have a lot of other information as far as health, current events, politics, etc., historical information, also references for those who are seeking to learn more about the identity message. There are also archives of the programs that go back to 1999. So, again, PastorDan.net, thanks to our listeners and especially for those out there that support us. And we've got Jimmy over in Tampa with Bank versus UTV, who is mirroring this broadcast over his TV channel out of Tampa, Florida. So, Jimmy and his guests, we welcome you to the program as well. It's kind of like what happens when the house of Jacob Israel, the true sons and daughters of the Most High, when they work together, it's amazing what can be done. For instance, Jimmy and I started talking after I listened in on his interview with Cody Snodgrass, the CIA contractor who turned whistleblower. He was the one that they paid, or at least offered him millions of dollars to blow up the building in Oklahoma City. And I sure hope most of the listeners to this broadcast are aware that that was an inside job completely. Just as 9/11 and Waco was a staged event, the murder of the Weaver family, again, staged events, all to bring about the New World Order, to drive us into fear of a boogeyman called terrorists, all of it state-sponsored, state-created, and Kissinger gave us the warning about that in 1991 in his speech in Avignon, France, where he admitted that the New World Order crowd, typically Jews, all of them at the top, they would use, quote, fear and terror to drive us where they want us to go. And keep that in mind as you see the things unfolding in the news today, because a lot of us are on overload. Okay, I'm hearing that. One of the pleasures of this position that I'm in is that I get to hear from the brothers and sisters out there on a daily basis. And they share with me what they're going through. And it's, how should I say this? It's, well, like I said, it's a pleasure, but it's also sometimes a daunting task to call our brothers and sisters in off the ledge, so to speak, because of all the craziness that's going on out there. I mean, literally just nuts. It drives you crazy. Of course, we were told by Messiah in the New Testament, the scriptures that refer to the great shaking in the heavens and the earth. Now, your mainstream churches, they point to earthquakes and volcanoes, and yes, those could be considered great shakenings. However, the Greek terms for that if you do the word study. And again, I recommend eSword, which is a free open source program to do word studies. If you don't want to get eSword, you can go to Blue Letter Bible. Okay. So, and you find out that the Great Shaking didn't just have to do with natural events like earthquakes and tsunamis, etc. It has to do with also geopolitical. And tell me that isn't what you see. I mean, the Catholic Church is being outed for the perverts and the demagogues that they are. The centralized governments are all being found to be corrupt to the core. The military has all been used as battering rams for the corrupt governments, and the military needs to wake up. They really do. As a veteran of the United States Air Force, I think it is a crime and a shame that our military is used the way it is by these criminals in government positions and these criminal bankers. And General Smedley Butler, who was, at the time that he was an active duty United States Marine Corps general, he was the highest decorated soldier we had, and he wrote a book called War is a Racket. Now, that should be required reading at the War College for our military men and women. It should be required reading in our schools, because Smedley Butler, in that small and short book, made it very, very clear, even back then, that he spent his entire military career going to war against peoples to promote corporate interests. That's a crime, folks. Now, do you think our Heavenly Father watching from on high isn't going to hold us accountable for that kind of activity? You don't think we're going to be held accountable for what we allowed to happen to the millions of Iraqis, the millions of Serbians, the millions of Croatians, the millions of Afghanistanis? You don't think that we're not going to be held accountable for that? And I thank Jimmy. Jimmy put up in our window here a Wikipedia.org link to a description of the book War is a Racket. I don't understand the mentality of our people. I really don't. Where they think they're going to get away with this stuff forever. I mean, how do you do that? How do you think that there's an omnipotent God above, our Heavenly Father, who watches over everything? A sparrow doesn't fall that he doesn't take note. And you think we can get away with this stuff forever? Really? You know, even if there was no Bible and there was no creator, even if that weren't true, the law of averages and statistics says eventually you're going to pay. Even if you just want to believe in the thing called karma, you're going to pay. If you're a bad person, it's going to catch up to you sooner or later. So I don't understand this whole thing where people think that they can get away with violating God's law and the rights and privileges of other peoples in their own sovereign nations, and we're doing it at the behest of Jews, lawyers, and corporations. That's who sits atop this whole cabal that is running the racket, and our military is being used by them. It's time the military wake up. I've talked to a lot of military that are and have been awake for quite some time, and they tell me that there's a large number of the military that do know that's what's going on. But we'll see, won't we? I guess we'll see. I wish Sergeant First Class Stephen Berry was still around. I can't seem to find him. If anybody knows how to get a hold of him, please contact me. He was the gentleman in the Special Forces that I interviewed many times back in the day. And he wrote a periodical, I believe it came out once a month, called The Resister, the political warfare journal for the Special Forces Underground. And he was a character. You want to talk about a man's man and sharp as a tack and strong wit? That was Sergeant Stephen Berry. Now, he, of course, was not a friend or not befriended by the hierarchy at the Pentagon and in Washington, because he and the military people that contributed to the resistor spoke their minds, and they said a lot of things that we're talking about here, that we have corruption at the highest levels and they're involving our military. And there's a price to pay for that. And unfortunately, it's called suicide. That's one of the prices. We have the highest suicide rate amongst our military men and women ever. It's never been this high. Over 22 per day. And that's more than have died due to combat. So on a daily basis, we lose more of our men and women in uniform to suicide than we do enemy bullets. And that's even with our military scattered all over the earth where they don't belong. So if they were home here in the States where they belong and only fighting wars against people that actually threaten us instead of trying to get regime change and protect people like the Clintons as they rape and rob all over this earth, the casualties due to combat would be almost non-existent. And there wouldn't be as much suicide either. Part of the suicide is the fact that many men in uniform know that what they're doing is morally unjust. They're not being rat-a-man-thine men, and since it's unjust, they know they're going to be held accountable for that. And they're caught in the middle because they're soldiers. They want to believe that their leaders are moral men and women, and they're not in most cases. They're just political hacks. So I heard that straight from a Christian man who was an officer at the Pentagon some years ago. And we got talking, and I said, you know, there's a lot of shady things going on at the Pentagon. You know that, right? And he said, yeah, I do. And he kind of looked at me like, how do you know that? But those of us that have been awake for a while, we know a lot more than you think. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, the Pentagon is a scary place. He said, but some of us try to make a difference. Well, that's encouraging that there's a few good men and women trying to make a difference, but why do we have institutions in our so-called Christian constitutional republic where men like him have to call it a scary place? That's because our country's been invaded. Our country's been invaded by the people Christ warned us about, those who would pretend to be of our kind, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Can you picture that? A wolf with a hide of sheep fur or wool around him trying to pretend he's a sheep. If you're not paying attention, he might get away with it, but if you've got your discernment tuned in and you got your glasses on, you should be able to see pretty clearly it's a wolf underneath there, right? Well, that's the Jew. On the exterior, he looks like a regular person. He might even look like a white man, like Michael Landon certainly appeared to be white. Bob Hope, everybody thought was white. Paul Newman looks white, etc., etc. However, that's the sheep exterior. What's underneath? There's where the wolf hides and the wolf comes out. And they've been working away like little termites to eat away at the fabric of the United States of America and virtually every other white nation for quite a long time. And their plan is almost coming to fruition, to where they think they're going to take over. However, our Heavenly Father has quite plainly stated that their plans are going to backfire and turn around and be dumped on their head only double. Now you say, Dan, that's overly optimistic. It can't happen because everything is doom and gloom and there's nothing going on. Okay, well then stop being a believer. All right, just hang up the Bible, put it away because you don't think it's true or you don't think we can interpret it or you don't believe the Father cares about us as his children. I mean, you have to believe that if you think that the New World Order's got this all bagged, put it in a bag and it's all a done deal and that we've got nothing we can do about it. All right? I choose the other. I choose, like Noah, that, yeah, it looks pretty grim, but hand me another 2x4 and some nails as I'm building my ark. I'll trust the Father, you know. Whereas David, when he was picking up the stones, I'm sure it didn't look too good as he looked over at that probably about 13, 14-foot tall dude with that giant spear and shield and sword, and he was getting ready to go do battle with him. Yeah, it was pretty hairy. I'd imagine that was a pretty scary episode of his life, where he's just going to go up there with a sling against this guy. He probably looked pretty scrawny compared to Goliath, too. But again, he took a step of faith. And I think that's what Christ meant when he said, "Will I find faith upon the earth when I return?" Will he? What do you think? Will he find faith? As you take a look around at the white men and women that walk this earth, do you see much faith there? I don't see much faith, unfortunately. If we did, we would take step forward and do a lot more than we're doing. But for some reason, we don't want to. We just don't want to do that. I guess we're just wanting to hang on, just like the people that follow the Q posts and the idea that there's white hats out there. And they may be out there. I'm not saying they're not, but you have no proof of it. Not yet. That could all be a big psyop. We don't know. It's nice to think that there's good guys out there that are going to help in this fight, but it may be just us. We may be it, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever thought about that? You and me. We may be it. Think about this. If not now, when? If not who? Right? If not us, then who would it be? I'm taking a look around, and I don't see a whole lot of leadership out there that's sincere, especially even in the ranks of those who call themselves identity. I don't see it. I've been disappointed by a lot of folks. I sure as hell am not going to follow him into battle. And that, to me, is a testament of a true leader. Will men follow him into battle? That's the true test. Because if you won't follow him into battle, you're not going to follow him to do anything else. Build a city, build a town, build an ark, build a business, build a friendship. What are you going to build? You're not going to build anything if you don't trust, if you don't believe that they have leadership ability. I like the old stories about what our ancestors did when back in the days of the Romans and the Greeks, etc., when somebody thought there was something worth fighting for. Let's say the politicians in Washington are saying we need to invade Iraq. Well, in their day, the people in Washington that believed that would be the ones out front picking up their swords and shields to lead everybody else in the battle, instead of sitting like cowards in Washington sending your sons and daughters to die. You see, real leaders went out there and got up on a big platform or a rock or some high point, and they would hold up their sword and their shield and get everybody's attention, and they would make the speech as to why they thought going off to war was necessary. And if the men agreed, they would bang their shields with their swords and make a loud noise. And the level of noise told the commander whether he had the support of his troops or not. And if he didn't have them, then he might as well just pack it up and go home. But if he did, then off they went to war. And again, the leader was out in front, not behind pushing. He's out in front. Lead by example. Real quick, I want to read some verses that was sent to me by one of our listeners, and it's out of Isaiah 58. I'm going to start with partway down through verse 9. The main is verse 11, but I'm going to pick it up where it starts up here in the middle. It says, "If you take away from among you the yoke, finger-pointing, and speaking wickedly." Does that sound like our people? They put yokes on each other, finger-pointing, and speaking wickedly. "If you'll take that away, and if you pour out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul." How many of our people care about the other people of our race? Pitifully few. Pitifully few. It's a me, me, me thing. Me, me, me. Instead of us, us, us. "Then your light will rise in darkness, and your obscurity will be as the noonday." In other words, your darkness, your ignorance will turn into a bright, sunny day, meaning your enlightenment, your comprehension, your intelligence, your wisdom. "And Yahweh will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in dry places, and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Again, that's out of Isaiah 58. Love Isaiah, along with Proverbs and Psalms, one of my favorite prophets, Jeremiah and Isaiah, and of course Ezekiel. So, words of wisdom from the Father to our people. He doesn't abandon us. We're the weak link in this chain. I hope you understand that. So as we go through what we're going through right now, and the New World Order, of course, is making their move, there is no doubt about that. You know, a lot of people say, well, there's not enough movement. I haven't seen such and such in prison. I haven't seen anybody hanging from gallows and all that. Well, that does take some time to prepare for. But we're very quickly reaching the point where either this is a psyop and they're going to come after people like us, or there are good people out there trying to make a difference and restore law and order in this world, and we're still going to have to fight. It just means we're going to pick up and fight with them against the wicked, or we're going to fight the white hats or whoever the psyop people are, along with the Edomites and all of their paid lackeys that are out there. And again, better trust that Revelation's got it right, because at some point here, Babylon is going to crash and burn, and it's an economic crashing and burning. If you read the book of Revelation, it's very easy to tell. It's an economic collapse. Babylon falls upon itself in an economic collapse. That's why the merchants are weeping and wailing. Okay? Jimmy put one in here. It looks like, I cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Well, that's a a redundant phrase, because transgression and sins are actually the same thing. Sin is transgression of Yahweh's law. Sin is not picking up a dirty magazine and kind of getting all engrossed in a naked woman's picture. That's what they used to tell us when I was a boy in the Methodist church. That's sin. You shouldn't pick up that there men's magazine there, boy, and take a look at them pretty little girls in there, because that there's a sin, Danny. Really? I think they look pretty nice. But that's what he told me. So, you know, there goes the guilt fillings. And, you know, do you think the Father gives a rat's rear end whether you look at a naked woman or not in a magazine? It's what you do, folks. It's not crap like that. Sin is transgression of the law. All right. Now, if you're a weak man and you can't handle that, then you better stay away from it. No different than booze and drugs and money at the bank or too much power in your office. Whatever. If you can't handle it, if it's leading you into transgression of his law, then you should stay away from it. But see, the church is all about the money. The organized church world is all about the money and making you feel guilty for being a person. Well, you shouldn't use language like that, Dan. You know, saying things like, you know, God damn and F-U-C-K and all that. That's just not proper language. I said, well, okay, I tend to agree. If there's, you know, a mixed crowd, maybe ladies in the audience or there's young children out there, you should be careful of certain words. It could be a little rough, but there's nothing in the Bible about that. Men use rough language, especially if they're in rough situations. So stop trying to make us feel guilty for being men. That's one of the things I started this radio show for almost 19 years ago, was for our men. I dedicated this program first to our Father in Heaven, second of all to the men, because I realized as a white man, the most put upon minority in the world today is the white male Israelite who has faith in the Father and tries to live according to his law. That is the most put upon individual walking this earth. And so I started the program with the idea of educating anybody that wanted truth. And that's why I've interviewed so many different people with their stories to tell that the mainstream media wouldn't touch, so that truth could get out there about what was happening. But that was part of it. The other part of it was to encourage the men to be men. And I've heard from some of the ladies that they're disappointed in our men, and so am I, and so are many of the other upright men that I know. We're disappointed in our boys and our fellow men amongst our race. It's like, what happened to them? What turned them into these feminized cucks and soy boys and snowflakes? All right? Jimmy put in I don't know what verse it is, but he says, our Heavenly Father created a woman for our pleasure and enjoyment, but from the beginning of the creation, Yahweh made them male and female. Of every clean beast you shall take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean, by two, the male and his female. Well, that's one of my favorite questions to ask people. How many animals went on the ark? And they'll say two of each kind, and that's not true. Two of the clean went in. It was seven of the unclean, because they were going to be, or I should say, seven of the clean and only two of the unclean, because the clean were going to be used for food. So they brought in seven of those. So, but as Jimmy put that up there, that is correct. The solutions, even according to the scriptures, that says that the world is in travail waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. Who are the sons of God? The sons of Yahweh God. That's us. To be manifested. What's the word manifest means? It means to be brought into the sensory of your perception. To be brought in through your sensory perceptions. Otherwise, your eyes, ears, nose, etc. So to be manifested, instead of just an ethereal thought, it's manifested. So the sons of Yahweh at some point have to manifest. They have to come together. They have to become that mighty army that Ezekiel talks about. That vast and mighty army that comes up out of that valley of dead and dry bones. That's a biblical way of saying spiritually dead white men. Spiritually dead white men that don't know how to be men. And you can't learn how to be a man if you don't know how to honor Yahweh. That's the first qualification of a real man. What's the scripture say in Proverbs? What's the beginning of wisdom? Oh, that's right. Reverence of Yahweh. Acknowledging and reverencing our Heavenly Father. That's the beginning of wisdom. The beginning. Not the end. The beginning. You learn from that point on. Once you realize who you are and that you do have a creator that you will answer to, both in this world and in the next. So there's your first qualification of a real man, and most of our men walking around out there haven't even got to step number one. Pretty hard to get to steps two, three, four, and five when you don't even get the first step right. And it's frustrating for the ladies, and I understand that. And it's pitiful. It's absolutely pitiful. Our world is in travail. Our world is upside down. Our world is in pain and anguish because our men haven't learned how to be men. To be a man, you have to worship Yahweh. To be a man, you have to take care of your family. To be a man, you have to take care of the ladies and the children. That's our job, guys. That's our job. Even up to and including the giving of our lives. That's our job. And we're turning around and giving it away to heathens, Jews that have crept in and taken over the courts and the law schools with their Talmud teachings. That's where all this sick perversion comes from. That's where all this ridiculousness about caring about rehabilitating criminals. Where in the Bible is there anything that's said about rehabilitation of criminals? Where is that? Somebody post it up here for me, please. I can't recall, you see. I'm having trouble. I'm an old man, and I'm having trouble recalling that verse or verses that talk about rehabilitation of criminals. Because my poor memory is telling me that every verse I ever read said that you will bring about the judgment written on the heathen, even their kings and their princes. All right, it says bring about the judgment written. So, like that young girl, that pretty young girl that was raped and murdered by the illegal alien that was still in our country, who shouldn't be here, the very first thing that should be happening to him as soon as he's found guilty of that rape and murder is that he's executed. No jail time. No asking me and my family to take food out of our mouth to feed this piece of garbage, or to house him, or to have medical care for him. No. I'm sure we would have plenty of people that would volunteer the rope to hang that bastard. And I'm sure we would have enough people that would volunteer to put the noose around his neck and hoist him up. I would do it. I have no problem doing it. In whatever way the court wants him executed, a bullet, a sword, a spear, an arrow, a hangman's noose, there's a lot of ways. Or how about stoning? You know, I did a sermon on that one time, is why the Bible has certain punishments for certain crimes. Because there were different punishments to bring about the death of the criminal. Sometimes it was put him to the sword. Sometimes it was to hang them. Sometimes it was to stone them. And, you know, we don't think about stuff like that today. But why would the Bible want somebody stoned? You see, the Talmudists have come in and told us that we're cruel and unusual for wanting to do criminals that way. Of course, they have no compassion for the victim, the girl that was raped and murdered. Oh, no, we don't want to have compassion for her. We have to have compassion for the dirtbag illegal alien that's here. That's according to the Talmud thumpers, all right? What does Yahweh say we should do? Well, as soon as you have done a proper job of finding that piece of garbage guilty, he should be buried up to his waist in the ground, and then the family and friends of that young girl get to pick up the stones. And do you see why? Does that come into your thoughts at all? Why would Yahweh want that event to take place that way? Well, this piece of garbage took the life of their child. Whether it's the grandparents, aunts and uncles, brothers, sisters, mom and dad, whatever, neighbors. This child's life was brutally taken from her. That scumbag will now have his life taken from him by the family and friends of that young lady by picking up those stones. Now, you say, but that sounds cruel, Dan. Well, I guess I'm kind of an aberration because I have more empathy for the girl than I do the scumbag buried in the dirt up to his waist. I actually don't really give a shit about him at all. I want to see him dispatched as quickly as possible. So now the family picks up these rocks and they go over and they have a choice. The courts don't have a choice. The judge does not have a choice, or the referee, actually. The sheriff doesn't have a choice. Local law enforcement doesn't have a choice. And you and I don't have a choice. The family has a choice if they want to show mercy to the scumbag. They're the only ones who can say, for whatever reason, that they don't want this man to die. If they don't plead for his life, then the stones start flying. Now, why do you do it that way? Well, first of all, you want the death to be painful and ugly as a warning to anybody else out there thinking that they're going to get away with the same crime. That's number one. Number two, hurling those stones at that piece of garbage is therapy for the family. I know you have a hard time understanding this, but that's the way our Father works. It's therapy for the men of the family, and maybe even some of the ladies would partake, but mostly for the men, because it's our job. We failed one of the ladies amongst us that this crime was committed. We failed. We failed to be there when she needed men around her to protect her. And so in our anger and disgust, we get a chance to pick up stones and make amends. We can't bring her back, but we can sure make his journey to the next world a painful one and a hasty one. And by picking up the stones and throwing them, there's physical exertion and there is an emotional release that you can make up for your sins, men, by putting that bastard in the dirt. Now, interestingly enough, we're finding out that there's an awful lot of these pedophiles and traffickers out there. Isn't that amazing? Maybe that's why Father wanted me to talk about this tonight, because we're going to have a whole lot of these guys that need to be dispatched. You know, they've only just started. This is just the tip of the iceberg of how many of these perverts are walking around. Me, personally, I look forward to the day we put them in the dirt. It won't bother me. It won't bother me what method we use either. Again, the family is the only ones. The people who are the actual victims are the only ones who get to say what happens, whether there's mercy shown or by what method that this guy is going to be put out. All right? I can't wait till we see this. Why? It's not because I want to do harm to somebody. I wish everybody would behave, to be honest with you. I wish we didn't have rapists to deal with and pedophiles and cannibalists and these satanic worshipers. I really do. I don't want to do any of this. I would rather just relax and be a man of Yahweh and have a nice big farm with lots of beautiful people around me, a nice big family, be a patriarch the way Yahweh intended us men to be. That's my dream. Not going around trying to find all these sick, demented people. Unfortunately, nobody else seems to be doing the job, and that includes our law enforcement. But a lot of them have their hands tied. But then again, a lot of law enforcement's part of the problem. We're finding that out as well. Some of the perverts wear uniforms and badges and carry pistols. Some of them have military uniforms on, as the wife of that colonel testified to the perversions her husband was involved in when he was alive. Of course, they tried to kill her for that. So these perverts run in all circles. I look forward to the day. I look forward to the day we start doing what Yahweh intended for us to do. That's going to be a much more beautiful world. Wouldn't you rather live in a world where you have honest money with no interest? Wouldn't you like to live in a world that has almost zero taxation? The only taxation you pay at all is when you buy something new. That's it. When you buy a new car, a new television, a new set of clothes, a new pair of shoes, okay, you pay a tax. There's your punishment for the rich, because they can buy the new stuff. So they pay a small sales tax, and I do mean small, like 1%. Now, how do you take care of the poor? Well, they're going to be down at the thrift shop and the Salvation Army and the other kind of stores like that, and they're going to buy used because they're poor. You don't tax them. That's the most ridiculous thing on earth. Taxing a used car, taxing a used pair of clothing, taxing tools that are used. You understand what I'm saying? They've got us convinced that we need government for all this BS that's going on, when actually, no, we don't. That one thing alone would make the economy more robust, would get people out buying and doing things, and help take care of those who are less fortunate. Just that one thing. And guess what? It requires zero input from people called government. You don't need tax people going down and checking your records and all this other garbage. Do you see how simple God's plan is? back when we actually did things like that and we didn't tax, even new, you don't tax like medicine, clothing, handbags, shoes. Those are essentials. You don't tax essentials. Okay? That's our father's law. And we used to live that way. When I was a boy, first of all, stores were not open on Sundays. When I was a boy, it was called the Blue Laws. You could not open a store or a bar on a Sunday. You were supposed to be with your family. Whether you went to church or not was up to you, but it was a day of rest and a day to be with your family. Gee, where did that come from? Oh, that's right, the Bible. That's what Sabbath means, take a break, a rest. A rest from what? Your occupation. Doesn't mean take a rest from physical activity. If you want to go out and build your neighbor's barn, you can do that. If you want to go out and lift weights or play football with the guys, hey, that's fine. It doesn't mean you can't exert energy, but you got to get away from your job. That's what Sabbath is all about. You see the beautiful part of his law, the beautiful part of doing things the way the Father intends? When are we going to shake our heads and go, you know, maybe we should try that? Do you think? Think we ought to give that a go, trying to live according to our Father? Maybe we should turn back to him. He made us. He understands how we work. He knows what works in this world that he created, this earth. Yeah, he knows the truth about the earth. Sadly, most of our people don't. We believe what we were told in schools. We believe what the television sets told us. We believe what the scumbags in government tell us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that includes scientists, by the way. Science is a cult. Most of the people that you hold up as great astrophysicists in science are nothing more than actors. Much like that president, if you want to call him that, with the monkey that we had in the White House before President Trump, who pretended to be a president. Pretended. He barely could read the teleprompter. He couldn't even get that right. Did you ever watch him when the teleprompter broke? He couldn't even finish the sentence he was in the middle of. That's how bad he was. And you... I remember people saying, well, you know, that Barack Obama, he's smart. He's a smart man. I said, really? How come I don't get the feeling he's so damn smart? And then I caught him with, I think there's like four YouTubes out there where he was giving campaign speeches and the power was lost to the teleprompter. He couldn't even finish his sentence. That's how little he knows. He has to have whoever his speechwriters are give him every piece of information he's got because he doesn't know a damn thing about what's going on. He's an actor, just like most of these scientists and pseudo-doctors and all that they hold up in the mainstream media, the fake news, and say, this guy says this, and they put some kind of credentials up there, and you find out the guy doesn't know diddly squat. He's not even a doctor. Look at that guy that, what was it, CNN or somebody had up there as supposedly a former intelligence agency giving them advice. They found out the guy was never even in the intelligence field. He had faked his resume, and they never even bothered to look into it. And here he is on a major network like CNN or NBC or something, telling the American people what's really going on because of his, quote, experience in the intelligence agencies, and come to find out he was never even in it. You see? Even in my industry, nuclear power, I know there's a power plant up north where the head of security at the power plant had faked his resume. He had no experience in security at all, and they hired him as the chief of security. Now, the mainstream media isn't going to tell you about that. Government isn't going to tell you about that because it's going to show you how incompetent these morons are. But the good news for me is I'm out of that business. Father doesn't make mistakes. I worked with a lot of men who are extremely intelligent, hard workers, but, you know, most of them have left as well. We're getting tired of supporting a failing system. It's a lot like in the book Atlas Shrugged and Who is John Galt. I feel like John Galt. I'm not saying I am John Galt, but I said I feel like John Galt. Because I'm watching the society that I grew up in disintegrate in incompetence and stupidity. And so, like John Galt, I would love to grab the good Israelite men and women and bring them out of this and take us to, what do they call it? Galt Gulch. And named it after John Galt, of course. Galt Gulch, which was an area, I think, somewhere something like Colorado, out in the middle of nowhere. And it had a force field over top of it so you couldn't see the people down below. And they invented things, and they made life according to Yahweh's plan. They were in harmony with nature, and they didn't pollute. Instead, they cleaned things. They honored a person's intellectual property so that when he invented something, unlike the Jews who are famous for stealing other people's intellectual property. Albert Einstein, by the way, is a complete moron. And he worked as a clerk in a patent office. So where do you think he got his ideas? But the Jewish media told you he was a brilliant man, and you believed it. But, you know, it's that same media that told you Barack Obama's a smart man, and he's an idiot. That's the same media that told you Michael is his wife when it's his name's Michael, if you can't figure that one out. All right? So you have to figure out who you're going to listen to, don't you? That's the day and age that we live in. You have to have discernment. And where does the discernment come from, people? Okay? Where does proper discernment come from? Because a lot of people are kind of like, they're frustrated. You know, you got the alt news media telling you this, and you've got the mainstream, which is completely fake, phony, and false. So they're sitting here, and you're juggling all these balls, trying to figure out, well, which one of them is telling me the truth? You know, we got Q and the QAnon folks telling us that there's some white hats out there, and you got the people that think Trump's a good guy, and then you got another group of people saying, well, he's got all these Jews that have put shekels in his pocket. He's got a daughter married to a Mossad agent. Oh, they don't tell you that, but that's what he is. All right, and she's decided that being Jewish is great, even though they're the Antichrist, even though they murdered Christ himself and are proud of it, even though she's married to a Mossad agent. You think that's by accident? You actually think he's there, Ivanka, because he loves you? You're just an assignment, girl. Wake the hell up. You're just an assignment. That's the way they operate. So here again, we're sitting here going, well, who's who? Who's true in this zoo? So you got to know the identity message. So first of all, nobody in Washington, if they don't even know their true identity in biblical terms, how the hell are they going to figure anything out? Again, I point to the men that know me. You know who I'm talking to out there. You guys know. We've known each other for many years. Praise Yahweh for that we've been allowed this opportunity to use this modern technology to stay in touch with each other. I hate to tell you this, guys, but we're on the front lines. Okay? We're on the front lines. Take a look around. Where do you see men who know more about what's going on and the truth, and especially the scriptural truth, than we do? Where are they? I want to know. Like I said, I've had my eyes open to some folks I thought were true blue to the message and to our Savior, only to find out that they're nothing more than fakes themselves, going through the motions. They don't have the software. I like the way Mike put it, and I think Jimmy has even said it a time or two. They got the hardware, for you folks out there that are computer geeks. They got the hardware, meaning the mainframe, the monitor, the keyboard, the circuit boards in the computer. That's all called hardware. Stuff you can touch. It's hard. You can feel it. Software is the programming. That's what decides, makes all the decisions, and runs the central processing unit. Okay, that's called software. So these people have the hardware, right? They got bones. They got skin over their bones. They got two legs, two arms. They have somewhat of a brain, not much of one, but they have somewhat of a brain. But they got no software running inside. You got to have a spirit for the software. You got to be like Adam when Yahweh came down and breathed the breath of life into him and put his spirit within him. Why do you think it's the white race that brought civilization to this world? And if you don't know that, then you really are way behind in the lessons. Now, you can't listen to the mainstream, and you sure as hell can't listen to anything Jewish out there, because they're going to try to tell you all kinds of hogwash, especially the History Channel, Discovery Channel, National Geographic. They're all controlled psyop. I watched the History Channel one night trying to convince us that Hannibal the Great was a black guy. Hey, you people out there that are history buffs should be just as angry as I am. I wrote a letter to the History Channel staff the night that that came on, and I berated them for an insult to true history and academia to put a show on about Hannibal the Great and the guy playing Hannibal was as black as the Ace of Spades. Are you kidding me? But that's the world we live in. And here again, do you love the truth? As Christ said, be ye lovers of the truth. Or do you want to believe the lie? Do you like your ears tickled? Do you want to keep going through this world with lies to guide you? Or do you want to know the truth? All right. We talk about a lot of truths that are not easy to swallow on this program. And I understand that. And that got the rabbis over at EFR upset at me. The three stooges at the top. I call them the three rabbis. And people say, well, you shouldn't say that. Well, you know, I have a right to say that because that's exactly how they're behaving, just like rabbis. And I got them upset because there were three main topics that I talk about. Well, I got news for you. I'm allowed to talk about anything I want to talk about. And you have the right to tune into another channel if you want. You're not going to cause me a sleepless night. You can go wherever the hell you want. But if you're going to listen to this channel, you're going to hear what I know to be true. If that bothers you, then you need to move on. Because you're not going to change me. I got news for you. Nothing on this earth is going to change who I am. That's a promise I made to the Father. I intend to keep it. It's also a promise I made to myself. And I think every man that's worth his salt should make that same promise as well. You should do everything humanly possible to be the white man that you were meant to be, guys. You should leave no stone unturned. There should be no subject that you don't investigate. There should be no topic that you're willing to discuss. There should be nothing that you're not willing to do to promote our people and to protect our widows and orphans. Who are the widows and orphans? It's the ladies with no man in their life, because our ladies are supposed to have a man in their life. So that's the same thing when the Bible says widows. It doesn't matter whether they're widow, they're alone because of divorce, death, or whatever. It means that they're not covered. All right? They don't have an Adam over the Eve. And we should be protecting that. And as far as the children, well, what's the most innocent of children? Yeah, it's called a baby in a mom's womb. And we're killing how many? We've killed over 60 million in just the United States alone since 1974. 60 million. 60 million babies, not fetuses, babies butchered in their mother's womb. Okay, guys? That's called a failure on our part. And if you say, well, they made a law, the Supreme Court. Who's the Supreme Court? Take a look at it now. It's all Catholics and Jews. You might as well just say it's all Jews. Talmud thumpers. Now, how many times did Christ quote the Talmud when he walked the earth? Let me think. This one's a tough one. Give me a second. How about never? All right? He never quoted the Talmud. And yet you're using Talmud thumpers because Roman Catholics are the exact same thing as the Talmud thumpers from the synagogue. In fact, they've got a Jesuit Jew Pope right now, don't they? And the last one was as well. And he's a pervert. So your Supreme Court is lopsided, loaded with Jews. Outright Jews and crypto Jews called Catholics. And so the men of Israel are sitting back going, well, the Jews say it's okay to kill the baby. Is that where we're going to stand in front of our father as a group one day, us men? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to stand there and go, Father Yahweh, yeah, it was tough. Yeah, there was a law. They passed the law, and they threatened to put us in jail or even shoot us if we didn't try to obey that law. Well, yeah, they're called babies. We know that, but you know, the Jews changed it to fetus. They had some highfalutin with a lot of letters behind their name, Jews, come out of universities and all and start talking about a fetus. Get us to change it from baby to fetus. So we were kind of deceived, Father Yahweh, and we think that that should give us a little bit of credit. Give us a little leeway there. Okay. And what do you think Father's going to say to that? You couldn't tell the difference between a blob of flesh called a fetus and a baby? Are you guys actually going to try to convince me of that? I can picture this scenario, the white guys standing in front of the white throne during judgment, and Father's wanting to know why were 60 million babies butchered in America. That is going to be quite a day when I get to hear all the excuses that our guys are going to come up with. That should be entertaining. Or the ones that are trying to justify homosexuality today. That's funny. They're coming out and saying, well, you know, Jesus never condemned the people that are changing genders or think that marrying boys and boys and girls is okay. Oh, really? That'll be another entertaining part of the white throne judgment, is when you stand there and tell the Father who made this earth and made you how that works. Just because a bunch of Talmud thumpers who worship Satan came up with pieces of paper saying that we have to accept aberrant behavior. Really? Pieces of paper generated by the Antichrist, and you churchgoers, you so-called Christians, you so-called Bible believers, you so-called worshipers of the living God have no problem with the Talmud thumpers completely shredding Yahweh's law. That should be a fun afternoon in front of the great white throne. We got a lot of trouble. Got a lot of trouble. Something big is about ready to happen. Everybody can feel it in their bones. I know I certainly can. Don't know exactly what it is. I'm not going to try to fake you out. I don't know. All I know is it's big and it's going to happen pretty soon. So every Israelite should be prepared for that. Whichever scenario ends up being true, it doesn't matter. Or maybe it's something in the middle that we're not even thinking about. Yahweh has a way of doing that, you know. He's watching us from up there, and we're sort of focused on what the boob tube's saying and the computer programs and all this stuff, and we think we have it all figured out, and then Father Yahweh sort of just pulls the rug right out from underneath us, doesn't he? And we stand there just kind of gawking at the screen going, wow, didn't see that one coming. I mean, think about it. In 2001, how many of us would have thought that these criminals in Washington, D.C. and the Pentagon would have brought three buildings down in New York City and killed thousands of people, including the firemen and rescue workers? Didn't see that one coming, did we? All of it an inside job. So the criminality is atrocious right now. But here again, if you want to clean this world up, folks, it's really quite simple. It is get back to the Father and start learning His law and then implementing His law in your life. If you want true happiness, if you want fulfillment, there's your fulfillment. No matter what happens to you in this world, no matter what happens to you as far as material goods, Yahweh never promised you that you're going to get all the things you want. What He promised you is that you will have the things you need as long as you obey Him. Love Him and obey Him. And then let Him bless you from His heart because He's proud of you. No, we're not perfect people. None of us are. But we have a perfect Father. And thank God he's not a liar and a deceiver like so many of us are. He keeps his word. And his word was that, according to Psalm 91, that he walks with us. He's our king. He's our judge. And he's our lawgiver. You notice the three branches of government there is all wrapped up in who? Yahweh? Is it Washington, D.C.? Does your Bible have Washington, D.C. there for Isaiah 33, verse 22? Does yours say Washington, D.C. will be our Savior? Does it say the United Nations will be our Savior and give us our law? Or does it say Yahweh is our lawgiver, our judge, and our king? So he's all three branches, isn't he? And yet we've turned around and let bodies of men get together, made up, now we're finding out, made up almost entirely of perverts and devil worshipers. Isn't that a kick in the shorts? You're not only guilty for allowing bodies of men to violate God's law, you're letting bodies of people who are degenerates, as if they have any authority over us. Folks, they have zero authority over us. The only authority they have is what you give them by their deceptions, by their fake and phony legal system. That's all going to turn around here very soon. Yahweh said that Babylon will burn in a very short period of time. It most certainly will. It says that the merchants are doing the weeping and wailing. That's pretty much telling you it's economic, doesn't it? Now, does it say we're doing the weeping and wailing? No. It says the merchants. And along with the merchants, who else is drunk on the delicacies of the whore of Babylon? Oh, that's right. Your kings and princes, which is a Bible way of saying the top people in your, quote, government. And that would include these bankers. Just look at the guy from the Netherlands, that Bernard fellow, Richard Bernard, I believe his name was. He came out as a whistleblower when they wanted him to kill a baby. He was okay with everything in the satanic rituals up to that point because he got well paid, had a great job, all kinds of women and cars and big houses, whatever he wanted. And he went along with whatever they required until the night he was told that night he was going to participate in the execution of a child. Kinder, in the German and Dutch tongue. Kinder, as in kindergarten. That's where the word kindergarten comes from. Kinder is children. Garden is protection. Kindergarten. Do we garden our kinders today? No, we don't. We butcher them. We allow the Jew to come in and write a few pieces of paper and say, okay, Jew doctors, you can butcher them, and then you can sell the body parts to the Jew cosmetic industry and the Jew research centers and the Jew pharmaceuticals like Monsanto. That's what we allow to go on day by day by day, and we wonder why the world has turned into the cesspool that it has. Now, my Bible tells me that when the men of Israel, that's us white guys, when we get together and we decide something, and we stay in agreement with our Father and each other, and we stay righteous, there's no force on this earth that can stop us. Do you believe that, guys? And do you believe that, gals? Because, you know, the guys need the gals. There's a synergy there. There's an energy there. That comes right out of the Bible if you study it. Why do you think King David was such a powerful individual? Think about it hard now. Why do you think he was such a powerful individual? You think it was all him? Or do you think it was the group of ladies who made him great? Who gave and shared their wisdom, their energy, their work, their raiment, their advice, their counsel, their comforting. You think that might have had a little bit to do with it? Food for thought, right? Think about it. Do you want to live a biblical lifestyle, or do you want to go back to living as man tells you to live, with all the taxes and the regulations and the fines and the fees and the police state and the large standing armies and wars that never end and surveillance of everything about you, cameras watching everything going on, groups of people like Zuckerberg, the Mossad Jew that ran Facebook, with CIA shekels in his pockets. Lying? Of course they lied. The Mossad, being Jewish, always lies. We are the fools because we believe them. We should have known. Jews always lie. Just like Clapper and Brennan when they testified in front of Congress. They're liars because they're misfits. They're part of the creatures that are walking around with sheep's outer clothing when they are actually wolves inside. Of course they lied. Their religion teaches them that it's okay to lie in front of Congress and in a courtroom and in front of a TV camera or in front of you. Their religion says it's okay to lie. My prayer is that Father Yahweh will allow me to live long enough to see this world transform back to the garden it started out to be. That's my desire. That's my wish. I would love to bring together people that share that wish and work towards that goal. I'm praying Father opens up a door, a window of opportunity where we can somewhere gather and start to rebuild this earth and do it according to his battle plan and not this fictitious, phony man's law world that is completely ate up and rotten to the core. It's unbelievable. Now, I want to let anybody out there that has a comment or question, feel free to send me a signal here. Again, if you're on a phone, it'll be *6. If you're on a computer, it's the Q&A button, and we'll be glad to answer your question or hear your comment or whatever at this point. I watched a report earlier today that says that they believe that the threats against President Trump are at an all-time high right now, and they're putting warnings out to the militia and the citizen soldiers of America that the loony left may try to take out our president, at which point the game is on at that point. If they can take out the president, they sure as hell could take out you or me, couldn't they? It's time that the left be subdued. They're communists. They're antichrists. They are sick, demented creatures. And they need to be driven into the ocean, to be quite honest with you. People say, well, no, we should tolerate that. Well, again, I digress. Where did Christ tolerate that? Where did the church fathers tolerate that? Where did the men and women that founded this country tolerate such behavior? They didn't tolerate that crap. That's the Talmud thumpers at it again, and you people are buying it. That's the problem. All right, Jimmy, you're on the air, everybody. Welcome to the program.
Pastor Dan, you know, I sit here patiently, biting my tongue, bleeding profusely, biting my index finger, but let me say this, and I'll yield, and maybe we can pick up at the end of your hour here, but let me tell you this, as a 58-year-old professional man, if they even think, well, I know they're thinking about it, but if they drop Trump, I'm coming out, and so are my aunts. I don't think they dare do that. This double whammy we had yesterday is shameful. And I'll tell you what, Dan, I'm a strong man, but when I got word that we found the body of Miss Tibbs, I wept for 30 seconds, and then I went and cleaned my guns. This is family show, so I'll use the term MF. They best have him in double secret protection right now, because the men of this country should storm that jail and take care of business tonight. And anyone that wants to take that as a threat to include the FBI, come on, guys. You've been here before, and you want to challenge me on that one, I'll win. I'm fired up, Dan. I've had enough of this, as most of our men and women of this fine country have. I'm over all these parochial games. This little 28-year-old up there in New York. I need a safe spot from the media. Dan, if we don't stop this tomorrow morning, because I'm tired and I need to get some rest tonight. But seriously, Dan, I'm halfway being, you know, with my wit. But Dan, Pastor Dan, I love you to death. I respect you beyond belief. I've had the honor of meeting you in person a few times, and I look forward to our next meeting. But Dan, it is time to do something positive. I am all for sitting and planning and mapping and, you know, AutoCAD and everything we've talked about on our ARC project. But let me tell you something, brother. I don't think we have time. I don't think we have very much time. And I think that their plan is probably going to wait until after the midterms. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, listening on my channel and kind enough to have Dan let me have a little airtime here, we best be prepared because, frankly, the north end, what comes out of the north end of a southbound bull will be realized either before or just after the midterms, Dan. And thank you for taking my call.
Oh, absolutely. No problem. Do you want me to keep you hooked up, Jimmy, or do you want to just...
No. I mute my mic. I got you on my... you're on my full studio, and I mute. And if I'm bleeding profusely, I might pop in. But, yeah, no, I will await, and maybe you'll invite my closing comments. But, yes, I'm on mute, but you're okay to leave my mic open.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, and you're right. Something should have been done a long time ago, and why in the world our people are taking so long, I don't know. A lot of times what I hear is we don't have the right leadership, and it's, you know, that always kind of cracks me up, because I happen to know Father's got leaders here, and they've been here for some time, all right? Why the people can't see it, can't answer that. You know, it reminds me of when Christ walked this earth. The Bible teaches us everything. When Christ himself walked this earth, how many people recognized him as the Christ? Ever thought about that? There he was amongst the people in that nation, that area, on a daily basis. He didn't have a motorcade. He didn't have a bulletproof limousine. He didn't have Secret Service protection. And he walked clothed in the same clothing everybody else had. In fact, they said often that there was nothing really about him to make him stand out that much, even though Pontius Pilate thought there was quite a bit. So here was this beautiful Aryan man with his golden hair and beard, bright blue eyes, speaking truth. And how many people recognized him? Even his own disciples would doubt him from time to time, and they were with him night and day for years, weren't they? And yet they had a hard time getting it. I often wonder if that's what he meant by, will I find faith upon the earth when I come back? You see, when he walked amongst us, we still ignored him. We still didn't hail him as our King of Kings. And we let the Jews bring false charges against him, bring him into a kangaroo court, and then we stood by and watched as they nailed him to a cross. That's the kind of people we are. A man who was guilty of no crime, murdered right in front of us, and we stood by and watched. Doesn't say much for our people, does it?
Hey, Dan, real quick, and I promise I won't punch in, but doesn't that parallel JFK in the 60s, and isn't that about to parallel our POTUS right now, in your opinion?
Good point, Jimmy. Yeah, in a way it does, I guess. I find it interesting that supposedly President Trump was an admirer of John F. Kennedy, mostly because John F. Kennedy sacrificed his life as he was getting ready to dismantle the intelligence agency, especially the CIA. It's corrupt as hell, as everybody should be aware of now, but he knew it even back then. So a lot of military and intelligence people that are loyal to this country and actually are men and women of some kind of moral turpitude, they, from what I hear anyway, they started an effort to counter what was happening in this country when they watched what was done to John F. Kennedy. That was an inside job as well. Lee Harvey Oswald was the patsy. He said he was a patsy, and he was right. He was a patsy. Just as we've seen since then, that's their modus operandi. They don't change. They're not very smart. That's the good news. They're criminals. They're evil beyond belief. But they're also not really all that smart, because they just think they can get away with it forever, because they control the media and they control the banks. And through those two, they control the police, the mayors, the governors, et cetera, et cetera. So here John F. Kennedy sort of triggered some of the better people in government, and they realized that something had to be done. And I think it's also interesting that President Trump has his Andrew Jackson's portrait on there, because Andrew Jackson was the white man who stood against the Jewish bankers the first time around, and he was quite successful. I believe that they took steps after Andrew Jackson, though, to make sure no president got away with that again, because they killed four. They've killed four of our presidents over banking issues. All four of these presidents were trying to take power away from the Jewish central bank, and they killed them for it. So people that have that kind of ability to kill a sitting president of a nation as big and strong as this one is, that should scare you, folks. That should scare you. So let's hope Father is blessing a group that wants to right the wrongs that have been committed. I sure as hell hope so.
Did you hear, Dan, last night? I got a little under the weather, which is rare for me, but I heard, I did witness Mr. Trump's rally in West Virginia last night, but I didn't air it on my show, although I did today. And he made a statement of how he wants to get out and about, and he was kidding. But I took something from this, and that he said, you know, I'm thinking about taking some trips without my Secret Service detail. Now, you know, that might have just been in fun. And he also mistakenly, in his speech, used the word Q, and you had to catch it. So I recommend people go listen. It was kind of like, you know, I try to articulate myself, but I get, you know, I get wound up, and I might misspeak. But there was a lot of subliminal, and I welcome people to go check me on his speech last night in West Virginia. Mr. Trump, our president of the United States, I think gave the most subliminal clues last night that I've ever heard. And I think when he said, "I'm going to go places without my Secret Service," was a hint to his security people. And you know what? I'm not going to take the security agency that the government is giving me. I'm going to take on my own guys. And I talked to my retired guy today, and he also saw what I saw. But at the end of the exercise, and thanks for letting me punch in, but I tell you what, Dan, I am fearful. Actually, no, I'm going to take that back because I'm not fearful. I am concerned about our POTUS. I am concerned about him. I'm concerned about his family. Yeah, you know, Ivanka's a Barbie doll and this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, I'm not concerned about that so much. I really, truly feel, Dan, and I'll yield after this, I am definitely concerned that a huge false flag is coming that's going to emulate the 1962 or 1963 assassination of our president. And Dan, in closing, if that happens, the men of this country and the women, we're coming out. You know what? We've had it. We're ready to come clean house. But if that happens, I'll tell you what, I'm coming out guns a-blazing. What do you think about that?
Well, everything hinges on being righteous. To be angered about what's going on, that's normal, okay? And do we need to do something? Absolutely. But what we need to do is implement our father's law. First of all, the court system is corrupt as hell, so everything we do has to be outside of the current court system. So we need citizens' grand juries. We need to find constitutional sheriffs who will deputize the militia men as deputies. That's a first step. So now you have the men at arms, and you have your citizens' grand juries, and you could also have your tribunals, because they are not within the current Department of Justice and court system that is 100% compromised. And then once you have that, then the criminals can be properly identified. See, we can't turn into a mob. That's what the enemy wants, and that's what our father will not bless. If we become a mindless mob just going out there and lynching people, then we're just as guilty as they are, and we will fail. However, if we do it right, if we're willing to stand again with the righteous constitutional sheriffs, the citizens' grand juries, the militiamen, etc., and we do things by the book, which means the Bible, but when we find criminals and they have been properly found guilty of either treason, kidnapping, murder, rape, child pedophilia, cannibalism, these are all capital offenses. All we have to do then is put the warrant out, go get them, and execute them. No jails. No need for jails, no need for counselors and psychiatrists, no need for prison industries, no need for corrections guards, no need for wardens. That's all a waste of time and money. We just need to implement God's law. And as soon as the word gets out that the white men have had enough and that they are forming these juries and posses, and the law will be implemented, once that word gets out, you're going to see things change overnight. Overnight, I can guarantee you, overnight you will see the cleansing of this land. Again, all we have to do is obey our father. We got a caller, Jimmy. I'll go ahead and unmute you because when I bring...
No problem, Dan.
Yeah,
go ahead,
Curtis.
Sir.
Yeah, Curtis is going to come on, and then I'll unmute you. Curtis in Texas, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Great honor to be on this program. I appreciate being on it. I like to give my opinion is that when Yahweh opens an opportunity for us.
Hey, Curtis.
The freedom of association.
Yeah, Curtis. If you could increase your volume a little bit.
Yeah. There you go. How's that, Pastor Dan?
That's a little better. Yeah, that's better.
Okay. I think that when the Yahweh provides an opportunity, freedom of association, and the sheriffs and the people who want to do right or feel supported, they feel backed up, they'll have a lot more morale to get things done. But they just feel that the people just don't support them when they do it. That's just my two cents on the issue. Just wanted to say it, give my opinion.
Well, you're right. The people are afraid because they don't feel anybody has their back. Too many sheriffs have been compromised. Too many of them are Democrats, communists. They shouldn't be sheriffs. We should have a test for sheriffs the same way as we have a test for citizens and people that cast ballots and sit in jury boxes. You're not just supposed to let anybody that just sucks air and has a warm body temperature to be partaking in the running of your country or your courts or anything else. Should be qualifications, and it'd be no different than for sheriffs. If we had the sheriffs doing their due diligence and working with the local militia as a posse to back it up, and people felt that there were honest, righteous men, here again I say righteous, Radamanthine men-at-arms who will have their back, we would have a lot more people that are whistleblowers, we'd have a lot more people ratting out the perverts, and we would we would have judges willing to take a stand for doing the right thing. Everything would start getting better. But it all starts with a core group of men who have said, I've had enough. We're going back to our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father gave us the authorization to do all this. We don't need permission from groups of men, especially criminals, especially Satanists. Why the hell do we think we need their permission to do anything? We don't.
True.
Right?
I'd like to add, Pastor Dan, that the organized stalking gangs have really gotten pretty sophisticated. They have some pretty sophisticated techniques to terrorize and keep people cowed down. But we really have authority over them. But the few of them that do this gang stalking, they got them cowed down. They just look like there's so many of them. But there's not a lot of them. They're very high tech about it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give my opinion about stalking gangs.
Yeah, a lot of the opposition to what we're talking about here is bought and paid for by people like George Soros and the Rothschilds, etc. We actually don't have big gobs of Antifa and soy boys and all these people that are going to try to stop us. They don't exist. That's a mind construct of the media and the Jews behind the media. They want the average white people in America to sit there thinking that there's these big groups of blacks and Mexicans and all this. I got news for you. If the white men get off their ass and decide that they're going to get together and fix this country, these groups are going to run for the mountains. They're going to be running for the Mexican border. They're going to be running down to the docks for the next boat getting out of here because their benefits are going to be cut off. All of their other so-called rights, they don't have any rights. They're aliens. They don't have any rights. So all their benefits are gone. They're not going to have a job because we're going to throw the people employing them in prison, waiting trial for treason because we've said you can't have illegal aliens. So if you're using them to make money, then you're a traitor on two counts. You see what I'm saying? All it takes is a group of people who believe we have rules to live by and will enforce the rules. We're in the mess we're in because we don't have any adult supervision in our school. So where's the adults? Well, the adults are the Bible-believing white men. That's who the adults in this world are. And if people don't like hearing that, again, you're welcome to go listen to somebody else. I don't care. You're not going to bother me. I answer to one person only. That's all I've ever answered to, and that's all I will ever answer to in the future.
Yeah, Pastor Dan, it just like I said, if Yahweh opens up an opportunity, it just to cut the banker's hold on us, keep not finding them for a while, because in the long term they'll lose, but in the short term they can look awful powerful and fool you that they're really big and they're bad. But if over time they're punks, they can't continue to fight. They'll kind of punk out on you, you know. I just want to give that two cents on you.
Well, absolutely.
Hey Jan, may I ask the gentleman's name?
And, Curtis.
And not to, hey Curtis, let me tell you something, brother. I've been with my law firm since 84, but I really engaged with the banks in 2007 through the foreclosure crisis, and you nailed it. These tough-ass thugs, I used to spend my days on the phone fighting with these thugs, and at the end of the day, I would win. And you know why, Curtis? Because I got back in their face with facts. And they were treading on the fact that the poor little guy that signed all the 500 pages of a mortgage document didn't have a prayer in hell. And I'm not self-gratifying here. I'm proud of the people that I did save, and that's where Bank versus You TV's name was born. And Curtis, you're correct. And I'll tell you what, brother, you know what, no disrespect, but for all you out there that can't fight as hard as we do, I respect you because you all have families. Dan knows, and Dan, if you don't mind, I like to bring Kim into it. I lost the love of my life, which stood here and fought with me on my radio shows and this, that, and the other. God took her home 2 years ago, and I stand as a single man. I'd love to have a mate. I'd love to have a companion, but A, I'm not looking. I have work to do. I've joined with Dan and other men in the group, and we occasionally meet. They all coagulate here in Tampa, which is great. We are, you know, kind of on the fence whether we're going to meet this Saturday or not. But Curtis, rest assured, my brother, we are working on this. But also rest assured to all our listeners, Dan, on your show and my show, we need help. Now, will Dan and I be the front man? Yes, but we need your backing. We need your backing spiritually in prayer. I'm not asking for money at this time, but we're going to need some serious backing because Brother Dan and I and others are about to embark on the Lord's mission. Dan, would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's around the corner. I don't have a crystal ball. Father hasn't revealed to me as far as the timing, only that it's like he said in Scripture. You can read the season by the signs. And so we know by the signs that we're getting really, really close. We can't pick a time or date, but it's not far away. And again, I'm going to say it to the men I know out there. You guys are stellar guys. I've been honored to have some of the best men I've ever met all over this country in what I call my inner circle of associates. These are stellar individuals, and I hate the because they're all bashful, they're all modest, not bashful, modest was the proper word, and so they don't like when I say this to them, and I understand it, but they are the best, and I'm talking about you too, Jimmy. That we are Father's military arm on this earth. We are the church militant, if you want to call it that. And if it isn't us, then who? I'll say it again. Again, I wish it wasn't me. I've got a lot more fun things to do with my time and my money, believe me. I could be having loads of fun. So we're doing this for a reason. We're sacrificing for a reason. We want to see this world, we leave this world in a better condition than we found it. That's the goal of every righteous man, to leave it in a better condition than what it was when he came into it. and to
improve. You know what, Dan? My father told me to never borrow things, but he said if you borrow your neighbor's lawnmower, give it back to him in better condition. Change the oil, clean it up, and I too, God, our Father Yahweh, has called this group together, your radio show, my radio show, all of us, and I think where I control myself, Pastor Dan, is that I'm anxious to see results. And when I see this young lady in Iowa, you know, I did. I got angry. I wept. I looked up at Kim's angel and asked Yahweh for guidance on keeping me from getting on an airplane and going up there and just taking care of business. But at the end of the day, we are God's men, Dan. And I know you welcome more to join us, and I'm not complaining, but we have such a small group of dedicated men, no disrespect to the ladies, but this is a man's job. Now, if the ladies want to come back us up, I welcome that, but it's time for the men to stand. And Pastor Dan, I really feel in my bones that our small group is going to be called upon in a big way in the coming weeks, sir. And I encourage everyone to, I'm not inciting fear, but make sure, just like, you know, in Florida, you know, we have hurricane season. So, you know, get some water, get some food. You know, stock up a little bit and prepare, because Dan, in my humble opinion, I'm not meaning to scare anybody, but it's going to get rough going forward, and our group is going to have our hands full helping those that didn't prepare, which is going to take us off mission. Would you agree with that? Off target.
Well, I think the people that matter are preparing. I don't think we're going to have very many of them. There might be a few cases where somebody just couldn't get their stuff to leave in time, but I really don't think there'll be that many of those. And something that came to my mind as you were speaking, and I want you and Curtis to give me your opinion here. The Father told us in the Word that He wanted us to raise a standard. At the end of this age, we're supposed to raise a standard for my people. A standard was, back in the days before telecommunications, it was the way a commander signaled his troops on a big battlefield. They used bugles and they used standards or banners. And a certain color or a certain design would be held or waved, and that was a signal to the guys at the far end of the battlefield what the commander wanted them to do. So when the Bible tells you to raise a standard, he's saying raise something up that my people, Jacob, Israel, can see, that they can identify with and rally around. And in a way, Jimmy and Curtis, I look at what we're doing with the programs like this as a in a way, a standard, okay? I believe it's a, trying to think of the right word for it. It's going to function the same way a standard would have in the old days on the battlefield. In this modern age with internet and such a large-scale operation as we're seeing starting to come forward, I see this as a beacon out to our people where they can see men of Israel coming together and discussing their plans and talking about who we are, as they find out that we're for real and not these players out here and LARPs and everything else. That's going to raise a signal for when the garbage hits the fan, which I think is right around the corner. So that's the point I wanted to see if you guys can see the same way I do. If we're raising a standard, which is our Heavenly Father and His law, that is a standard to live by. If we're raising that, could it be possible that in the very near future we're going to have quite a bit of chaos on this earth? Do you think it's at that time that our purpose will be revealed, because it's at that time that the Israelites are going to be scampering for that standard to hold on to grab a hold of, to be the beacon that they see, because that standard not only represents truth and honesty, law, righteousness, and true justice, those are all attributes of Yahweh, Father God. So in a way, that standard is our Heavenly Father as well. And so our people, Revelation sort of alludes to this type of scenario. And I'm just wondering, do you guys see that as a possibility? Do you think that we're building a platform of information that could be viewed as a standard during the coming chaos, which is right around the corner? I agree with you there, Jimmy. I think it's right around the corner. What do you think, Curtis?
Well, I think it has to do with theorycraft. When you're not saved and you live a disorganized life, platforms like this give people hope. They give them a structured way of thinking and communicating. So the ones that they seek faith the longest is going to have the best chance. But the less time you spend time seeking an organized, faithful way of living, the less you're going to be able to understand it. So I think it just gets through the theorycraft and confusion, like the politics of that deletes identity at all, completely. There's no race, but there's just a bunch of talk and politics, and at the end of the day, they just go back lying about what they promised to do. So that's my opinion.
Okay. Jimmy?
Oh, my, Pastor Dan. You know what? I have a small following, but one thing Kim taught me is if two or more gather in his name, we're doing his work.
Mm-hmm.
And I have kept Bank versus UTV on air 24/7. I'm always here except when I'm sleeping. We have interactive chat rooms. We have people that, you know, we're all family and we all piss and moan at each other. But at the end of the day, Pastor Dan, if I were to go out off air today, I think that would be a message to them, but not good. The Lord has, our Father, our Yahweh, has blessed me not only with the facility, but the responsibility. And I had a few issues, which I've shared with you, where I'll just say it. You know, the FBI came here and basically told me I was being too vocal and I needed to calm it down. I did take my show off air for about 4 hours to think about it, because I'm not going to do anybody good in jail. But as I consulted with my law firm and my retired folks, they're like, Jim, go back. You're doing the right thing. They can't touch you. And I'm back. And basically, folks, so you don't think I'm a felon, I just made a comment against the faggots. I have an issue with the faggots, like our good friend Pastor Dan has an issue with the Jews. I don't have a particular interest in men lying with men or women lying with women. Now, that's your personal choice, and as long as you don't put it in my face, A, I'll never know it, and B, you don't have to tell me I have to go to diversity training. Because diversity training, Pastor Dan, as you all know, is trying to get me to shift away from my God-given morals that my parents gave me, and that will never happen. I will share that one of our foreclosure attorneys was raided today, and he was, you know, the guy fought for homeowners, and the referee judge sanctioned him for 1 year of psychological training. Dan, let's take a second on that. A fighter in the field, okay, and he's won several cases, and the banks came in, their money, which is where Bank versus You comes from, and he's not affiliated with my law firm, but he is right here in our jurisdiction. They wanted to spar him, Dan, and they want him to take 1 year of diversity training. Well, didn't Hillary say, wouldn't we all like the adult fun camps? Dan, how far are we going to let this go? How far till they come to your house or to my business and round us up to say, okay, we're taking away your megaphone, we're taking away your D batteries, and unless you go to 1 year of our bullshit, you're going to prison. Dan, it is on the doorstep.
Yeah, I agree. Well, the answer is in the masses, the movement of the people. You know, when Christ and the 12 disciples went out, they were just a handful of guys, and they changed the whole world. That's because the people heard the message and lived the message, and it changed their lives, and that changed the world. And we're trying to do the exact same thing. We're trying to revitalize the white race, to shirk off this white guilt nonsense, which is a mental construct of Judaism, to be proud of who they are, be proud of our Heavenly Father who created us and gave us this world to live in, gave us a set of rules to live by, and willingness to work with each other, and stop being so damn selfish and backstabbing and nitpicky with each other. It's pathetic. Nothing disappoints me more than when I see our people do stuff like that. I've said it for many, many years. Attitude is everything. When I was a supervisor, the worker's attitude meant everything to me. When I was a worker, I showed a good attitude to my supervisors, and I always got excellent reviews, I got pay raises, I got more responsibility, and just like you were talking about a tool, when you return it, I had friends of mine would borrow my tools, it would come back with tar on it, dirt, bent, broken. When I borrowed stuff, I did exactly what the book says. I returned it as good, if not cleaner, and in great shape. And guess what? Every time I wanted to borrow something,
indeed,
they let me borrow it. The guys
indeed
that came to me to want to borrow some of my tools or my equipment the second time, it was, no, you can go see somebody else. You're not going to borrow my stuff. So here again, when you put what the Father teaches us into action is when you get results. My father taught me that way. The Bible teaches that way. And in my career, when I behave the way the Father wants us to behave, I was blessed again with good reports, a good relationship with my supervisors. I got promotions. I've got a lot of perks that everybody else didn't get. And when they wanted somebody to do the job, they would come and ask me, was one of the first people, because they knew I would do it. And if I couldn't do it, I would tell them I couldn't do it. So I was honest with them.
Consult. Dan, I just kind of, you know, I get a lot of emails during our shows together and during my live shows, but, and this doesn't mean to be an idiot, but they're like, you know what, guys? I'm going to read this verbatim. You know what, guys? I love your shows, but what can we do, ... What can we do? And Dan, I interpret that to, because you know, you've been on air a lot longer than me. You are definitely, 19 years into it? I started Hot Radio in 2009 and did a couple of shows a week, and I didn't go full time with Bank versus You till, I think we're 4.5 years into it. But at the end of the day, people come to us, and most of the time, I don't get trolls. I think they're looking for the old guys in Tampa, as we kind of nicknamed ourselves, or the wise men, to give them guidance. What are we going to do?
Well, do something, you've got to, any time you have a mission, you've got to rally the troops. You have to pick your commanders, and you have to bring the troops together in a singular spot. And we've got our people saying, oh, if we form in one spot, we'll become a target. Well, okay, but Noah brought everybody together to get on the ark. He didn't say go over to the next county and you'll be saved because we're over here in the ark. He said, come on over here to the ark.
We did that with our radio shows. We're so scattered, if I may interrupt. But you know what? We've coagulated, you and I and your men. I am so honored to have sat with you, I don't know, two or three times. I think it's three times now. And we have another one planned in the near future. But I tell you what, Dan, people count on us. And frankly, I take that as a responsibility. And they're asking us, what is our next move? And frankly, Dan, I can't answer that. Can you?
Well, the only thing we can do, other than what we're doing already, is to offer a place to go for fellowship, to meet, to teach, to organize, discuss. That requires us to come together in a common spot, and that requires somebody to either donate or lease. Your guys would be better at that than me, but somehow Father has to open up a door where there's a piece of property somewhere that we can put a chapel there and say, we're going to start right here with this piece of ground. And the men are going to come there, and this piece of ground is Yahweh's piece of ground. And then we're going to add to it. As people come, because they're attracted to that, they will come and add to it, and it will grow. If Father blesses it, it'll grow rapidly. If it's not blessed, well, then we're just blowing smoke up our skirts, and nothing's going to happen. But I believe it is that time. You know, the people, we need to focus. We need to come together to become a group that's willing to watch out for each other. Because who else are you going to trust? The criminals are running
the system. Well, Dan, with that, I fully 100% agree, and all my listeners know, I have never had a donate button or a GoFundMe or this, that, and the other. But I'm going to put this out right now. We need your help. And we need your help out there. Dan, I'm not a fan of GoFundMe or Patreon or any other of that happy shit. But what I did do is I took the liberty today to set up a trust account for this project only. And I'll get with you offline on that. And people that want to not only join what we're up to, but want to watch us grow, Dan. You know, I've been on air, 4.5 years. And my thing is, you know, I don't mind people with the donate button, but people that just put it in my face or, you know, like last night I was looking around for Trump's live feed and donate here and do this and keep us on air. It, you know, screw you. And it's a family show, so I won't drop the F-bomb. But they're just whores. But, Dan, I think if people want to see this mission get up and running, even if they can't join it, and again, you see where I'm going? If you want to keep us alive and keep the movement, keep the men alive, none of us are broke. Trust me. But we are exhausting our resources and our time, and we probably need some relief, Dan. to be able to focus more on the ARC mission. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Dan and I talk about once a day. We text. We are serious about this. We have some great brothers that are about to join us from other cities. And we are going to need your prayers, and we're probably going to need some donations. I'm just going to put that out there, Dan. Does that make sense?
Well, it should be made available for those that want to do that. That's right. And as it's in a trust, it's guarded, and every penny of it would be to obtain property, build a chapel, and also build shelters for the homeless. I know a veteran
but
right now.
If I may interrupt, right now, Dan, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I don't think the project is going to need donations. I think the project right now is trying to bring in monies to help those that are out of time and need to be relocated so that they can join us. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
You and I talked. Okay, so I'm not looking for money for me or money for the project.
No.
I'm just going to cut right to it. We have individuals that will be key to this mission, and these folks just need a little bit of time to relocate, and you see where I'm going, Dan? I'll let you take that. I'm hinting at what you and I talked about, but we have ladies especially that can be so instrumental, and they just need a little bit of help to relocate. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. It makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And we got
so I set up an ARC Trust today, LLC in Florida, and I will attach a PayPal account tomorrow. Nothing comes through me. I will be the trustee. I have no access to the funds, although I will make sure that the funds are allocated accordingly by the state of Florida. And Dan, I don't know if I should say this on air, but it kind of gives a fund for the two ladies that you talked about that we need to relocate. And I'll be quiet unless you want to elaborate on that.
Well, no, we don't want any details going out over the air, but we have people that have contacted us. And like I said, the one gentleman I know up in Gainesville is a veteran fighting cancer, and he's living out of a tent. I mean, the VA is virtually doing
very
little for him.
See, we can't have that.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
That would be funded from the. Okay, yeah. See, that just sickens me, man. But that's the kind of gentleman that would be funded from the fund, and I'll yield.
Right.
But yeah,
because
that
he's
was
one
set
of
up
us
today. Yeah.
Yeah, he's
exactly
one of us.
Well,
we're not talking
about, Dan,
in general. We're talking about helping our people. Our people are the least helped out there today. So these are for our veterans.
Even if you and I were not on the phone, sir, if I had knowledge of a veteran living in a goddamn tent in Jacksonville, I would be in my car to go up there and I'd bring him here. And that's what we're probably going to have to do, is have a little pilgrimage of funds where we coagulate people. Now, Dan and I are looking for land, and I won't go into too much detail. But, Dan, I cannot stand to hear or see a human being, especially a veteran, suffer.
Right.
No. Anyway, I yield. I hope I didn't say too much, but
things are at work, Dan. Well, here's the other thing. We're not claiming to be know-it-alls, folks. This is a team effort. That's why I've said from day one, this radio show and what we do here is a team effort. So I've been honored to be given a kind of like a central nexus in the middle of this information, but that doesn't mean that I'm all-knowing and everything else. We work as a team, and so if people out there have ideas, we would welcome them as much as any other kind of support. Any ideas on how to go forward? Any ideas on where to do it? Any ideas on how to make it come into fruition? We're not so proud that we think we know it all. I know Jimmy's got a lot of talent, and he's a very educated man. I've got a lot of experience. A lot of our men that are part of our inner circle have a lot of experience, and there's ladies out there that have a lot of experience. We're the cream of the crop, and all we're saying is let's work together. Whoever's got the bright idea and the whole group hears it, it's gonna send off shockwaves. That's the way the Father works. The Spirit testifies to the truth. That's what Scripture tells us. You can call it a vibration. You can call it a gut feeling. I don't care what you call it. The point of it is, Jimmy, I'm sure, is the same way. When I hear a good idea, bells go off. I just know it. And then, of course, I go to prayer, and I ask for a fleece and offer up a fleece for Father to honor the fleece so I know for sure. But when I hear a good idea, I usually have bells go off. Or as they say, you get that warm, fuzzy feeling, and that's what we're looking for. So if we're not right there with the idea and you think you have the idea, contact us. Don't be afraid to contact us. We're not afraid of somebody saying, hey, you dummies, why didn't you try this? Or, hey, guys,
oh, yeah.
How about
if you
this?
Get the Jesus bumps, which I do when I speak of Kim or I spoke about what I set up today, Dan, it's, you know what, and the thing is, what I set up today is to, how should I say this, it's kind of like, and no disrespect intended, so don't take this, because it just came to mind, but we're bringing in the shovels and the rakes of good people that have knowledge and abilities to help us realize our calling, Dan. It's not a dream. It's not a passion. It is a calling. And if we can rise up, and I'm being very careful here, but ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, I'm fighting with my landlord or, you know, I'm living in my damn camper. And, you know, folks know about my friend Jay out there in Oregon. And I'm not saying this to sensationalize this, but, you know, I've been keeping his family alive for years with, you know, especially in the wintertime. And it's almost like I'm enabling him not to do something. I'll just leave it at that. And my listeners know exactly who I'm speaking of. Jay, I love you, but you know what? I can't support you anymore because you're not helping me support you. And Dan, isn't that the mission here? Yeah, we're going to give a hand up to people. We're going to get them healthy. We're going to try to get them into a habitable place and get settled. But once you get settled, especially with winter coming, there's work to do, man. Right?
Yeah. We got projects.
Yeah.
We've got, and besides that, we want this to turn into being a self-sufficient ministry. The goal is to set up a business, whether it's organics, animal husbandry, whatever, our talents will be used so that the ministry becomes self-sufficient. It won't even need, there will be no donation boxes, no donation buttons. The goal is to get to that point. But we need help up front. That's all we're asking for.
If somebody wanted to
make a loan, the idea is that the ministry would pay back the loan. But the thing of it is we just need help, whether it's counsel, suggestions, volunteers to work, people who want to come live here, people who have needs. We're a family. That's what people have to understand. This is a family effort.
You know what's cool, Dan, is anybody that I've met in my life that I have helped or given a hand up or whatever, they have needs. But you know what? They have talents. 86-year-old ladies and men. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for paying my phone bill. But they have something to give back, except there's no way for them to place that yet. And I did a survey on that today. I have probably, without exaggeration, 50 people. Most of them are older than me, my senior, and all they want is a comfortable bed, and they are capable, Dan, of producing something to this idea. Something. Knowledge of farming, knowledge of, no, you want to do this when you hoe the row of soybeans or whatever. And they've done it for years, Dan. See, my point is, and I'll yield, is there's so much talent out there that is being wasted, and 90% of it are veterans that are being shoved to the ditch, man.
Well, that's my point. Do this in the name of the Father. Do it for the right reasons, and keep it honest and pure as the driven snow. We're finding out that they're poisoning the food, water, and air. They're poisoning everything. This will be a plot of ground, whatever it is, 20 acres, 200 acres, 2,000 acres, who knows. The point of it is it'll be an area that will be known as a sanctuary, a place where you're going to hear the truth, where you're going to be taught the truth, you're going to live the truth, you're going to get your health, you're going to be treated like a person, you're going to have your needs met. There's going to be no degradation. There'll be no judgments upon you. However, we will expect that you behave. If you misbehave, you'll be gone. We're not going to tolerate anybody violating the rules or hurting other people, things such as that. You'll be expected to behave as a white man and a white woman. And if you can't, well, then you need to go somewhere else. But if you behave and you work hard and be part of a family, then you're going to have the support of a family. And that's my goal, Jimmy. I want to see each man and each woman be what our Father intended them to be, because this world has us suppressed. And we are the people who can invent and create and build and take care of this earth. We were put here to do that. Our great father, Adam, was put here to do that. And that's what my goal is. I want a place where men and women come to, where they can be everything that they were meant to be. Nothing holding them back. Just a body of men and women who want to help them be everything they were intended to be. I think that would be beautiful. Is that not a beautiful thought?
Amen. Yeah. Let's, like you and I talked about, I love this house, and I'm going to build this house. And I talked to you. I said, yeah, I even figured out how I can get my John Deere up and down. And he said, no, Jim, all you need is a goat to go up there and clean the grass. And then the goat comes down, and then we milk the goat. We have, see, it's all about even reversing some of us that need that reversal, and you did that to me. I don't need my John Deere up on top of this house that I have on my show right now, even though I kind of engineered how I could get it up and down. Hell no. Turn the goat loose. And then when the goat comes down, we milk the goat. We get goat milk and cheese. And, you know, and there's people in the community that know how to do that. We raise chickens. You and I talked about maybe cattle's a little bit too rich, but we go into town and, you know, invest in a couple sides of beef. And Dan and I have, if I may say, Dan, have engineered this, you know, and I even have on my CAD cam, you know, the plots on how much land I think we need. And Dan, I'm going to pose this question right on air. You know, we might have 60 people right now, but I bet when they learn about our success, we're going to be overwhelmed with people, which is going to be a challenge. But I'm going to circle back to what you said, and I'm going to yield. Come join our community.
Well, that's
please.
It. It has to start
but
somewhere. We're just wanting to get started.
Behave yourself. Yeah.
That's right.
Anyway,
behave yourself.
I yield. Yeah.
Right. We want Radamanthine people. If you're not Radamanthine, then don't come, because that's not, you're not going to conquer. Father is not going to bless an effort if it's made up of people who aren't the kind of people that he wants. So that number one goal of every person involved in this is you're part of a family, and that family is under the laws of our Heavenly Father. And if you can't live with that, well, then you need to stay the hell away, period. If you think that's
Amen.
Too start too tough or whatever, well, then stay the hell away. We don't want you. I would rather go into this with five individuals. That's it. Just five individuals, and that's it. I don't care. But whoever's there has to be in agreement. We have to be of one mind. Even the scripture says that. Be of one accord. That means be of one mind. What's that one mind? That we're tired of Babylon. We want out of Babylon. We want to live amongst our own family, and we want to live according to his laws. Simple as that. And if people don't
Amen.
Like it, that's too damn bad. We're going to live
That's
according
right.
to his laws, and we're going to allow him to use us to teach everybody else how he can bless those that will love him and obey him. Because we're going to be blessed, I'll guarantee you. If we can put our egos to the side and we can work together as men and women on this project, he will pour out the blessings upon us if we can do that. That's a big order, though. Because this world has taught us to be selfish, self-centered, boneheaded, argumentative, stubborn, short-sighted, and we have to give all that up. We have to open up our minds and our hearts to accept the Christ, accept the love of the Christ, our Heavenly Father, and say, I want to be in that family. I want to be in his family, and I want to be on his family on this earth, and I want to live outside of Babylon. I want to live like a man was intended to live, however big a piece of ground it is. And I believe if we build it, they will come. And as they come, then we will add to it. There'll be other properties added to it, or just down the road will be another property. And this will grow into other states. I'll bet it does. It'll go into other states, and who knows where it could go. I believe in the scriptures. It says a new heaven and a new earth, and out of the new Jerusalem, where the 12 gates are the 12 tribes of Jacob, Israel. The New Jerusalem is the centerpiece where Christ reigns and his sons and daughters are his ambassadors. Hey, how about us becoming ambassadors, folks? Again, if not now, when? If not us, who?
Hey,
Isn't
Dan,
it time?
Hey, let me ask you this. Hey, Dan, do you think you were called?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Amen,
I know that may sound a bit egotistical. I apologize.
No. You know what? See, egotistical is off, and I'm going to comment on what you said. We're not looking to be the new Democratic Party, folks. God called me a long time ago to do a lot of weird shit. Okay. Even when Kim was here, I tell you what, Dan, I don't have to do my radio show 24/7, 7 days a week, but I can't not do it because I have people that listen overnight. It is a calling. And if you folks think that we're egotistical, then I hope that you go when you pray tonight and realize that we're not. This is not egotistical. Dan, you said it earlier. You have better things, and this is kind of cocky, but I'm in the boat with you. I have better things to do. Hell, I could go off and do all kinds of other stuff. Dan, seriously, I sit here every day amongst 3-4 screens, and I run my show and I run my business. I answer the phones. I handle troubleshooting calls. I make my living. I'm working a couple international projects, okay? But I still keep Bank vs. UTV online and as fresh as I can. X22, Sergeant Report, breaking news, whatever, whatever. Dan, why do I do that? Seriously, why do I do it? There is no money coming in. It is because I want to keep my... I'm a shepherd, man.
Well, that's
I was
what
called.
Father... Yeah, Father's testing
yeah.
us. He's testing our will because he knows that we're not in this for any kind of gain. I've been doing it, like I said, for 19 years, and I've lost money. Trust me. I've lost money on the deal.
Oh,
so,
yeah. There's
know,
no money. There's no money gained
yeah.
on
it's
yeah,
a,
but
yeah,
you know what?
Money
it's,
has nothing
it's my
to do with
pleasure. I am
right.
serving my listeners
and the,
my father. Right.
Right. We're serving our people. We're serving justice. And that justice goes out to everybody, by the way. Justice is justice. Justice is blind to economic situations, race, and everything else. Justice is justice. And that's what we're all about. However, it is a family that we're talking about, a ministry and a family. That's the centerpiece. But we will be about justice, and that means justice for everybody. Somebody comes to us and somebody's not just with them and they're being abused, harassed, tortured, whatever, then our men will put an end to it. That goes for everybody. Our men will put an end to it. There's
That's
been
right.
enough injustice, and we're all about ending the misery. And that if you're not committed to that, well, then shame on you. But that's what we're committed to. And it's not so much that I say there's better things that I could do, because I think working for the Father is probably the best thing you could possibly do. What I meant by that was that there's more fun things I could do on a daily basis.
No,
but,
Dan, brother,
you know,
I get
saying,
it.
You know,
I get it.
Right.
I do. Because, you know what, in my opinion, Father wants us to be happy, wants
yes.
us to enjoy the life that we've been granted. And I'm going to say, fortunately, you and I have been placed in a position of responsibility. If I shut my station down tomorrow, I would have a lot of people, they would think that I either died or whatever. I've done that. Jim, are you okay? I mean, my frickin' phone goes off. And you know what, Dan, and I'm not being cocky here, but I could go out and buy myself a boat. I could close this place down, sell it, and go out and live the heyday in the rest of my years. Dan, would I have fun? You bet your ass I would. But would I go to bed at night and not ever, ever feel the guilt of not finishing this message? There is no way, Pastor Dan, Commander Dan, that I'm leaving this mission. The only way that I will leave this mission is if Father takes me home, and frankly, I don't think he's done with me yet.
No. We'll be like the Spartans. You're going to either come back carrying your shield or on it. And I plan on coming back from the battle carrying my shield. So, you know, when the day Father decides that they're going to put me on top of the shield and bring my dead body back, well, I guess that's the end. But I'm not going to go down easily, and I'm not going to go down quickly. I'm in this to the end as well, and I believe every
Amen.
Spartan warrior should have the attitude, I'm going to make the enemy die for their cause. I plan on carrying my shield into battle and bringing it home. So
if God takes
you know,
me home, Dan, I'm going to go lay with my Kim and hug her for the rest of my life. Seriously, I'm not kidding you. I'm serious.
I know,
until
buddy.
Until then, I have work to do, and I'm honored to be associated with you and the others that we've met in person, and those that we will meet in person. Our work is not done yet, Dan. And frankly, you and I are going to probably barbecue a steak up there in the Lord's Golden Gates. But I tell you what, Dan, my Kim is always here with me. She comes to me in my sleep state and comforts me. And until the Lord takes me home, I am here, and yep. I have no fear.
Well, also, I want to put out a prayer request to the listeners. Our brother Mike up there in St. Louis told me tonight that there's been a big shakeup in the major corporation that he works for, so there's a good chance that he may not even have a job, even at his level. So keep him in prayer. He's a stellar individual and one of our crew. So we pray, but we pray for Father's will. Maybe it's Father's will that this is happening, and it's to help push Mike to make a decision. That could be part of it. But just keep him in prayer that, you know, the good things will happen. Father walks with us. We always ask that there's prayer for all of our frontline troops, the men and women in the trenches, that they get strength, they have protection, and keep them encouraged, because this world can be quite depressing. There's a lot of bad stuff going on, bad stuff being reported about. There doesn't seem to be very many righteous people trying to do anything, and if they are, we're not hearing about it. And that's the other thing I really want to see happen. Everybody's tired of hearing about the bad stuff. Let's start doing something right. And then get on the radio and talk about what we're doing that's right, instead of always talking about what the damn enemy's doing. I'm sick and tired of it. Let's talk Amen. About the latest thing we built, the latest people we helped, the latest people that now have good health, the people that are up in age that feel 20 years younger because now they have real food and they got clean water, and we have technologies that have been suppressed that we now have that can help old injuries be healed. That's what I want to see. I want to see us, like Scripture says, I want to see us leaping as young calves. I grew up on a farm, and I can tell you, a young calf bounces everywhere it goes. It doesn't just walk or whatever. It's bouncing just like a deer.
Hey,
so,
Dan, it's like my feral kitties. I've got three generations of kittens out on my land, my farm. And they are just absolutely my pleasure. They're happy, they're frisky, and of course they get fed well. And I played with one this morning. I try not to favor them because they're feral. But, you know, back to Brother Mike, I won't say too much, but I'll tell you what, I talked to Brother Mike. And Brother Mike brings so much to the table, which is parallel with myself and others at the group. And he needs to tell corporate America to go fuck themselves. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I did drop the F-bomb, but I did that as a young man. It hurt me, but... Brother Mike is talented, just like Brother Jay, Philip, all of us. And together, you know what, Dan? All we need, I have money, guns, and lawyers. And the money side is a little bit subdue right now because it's invested. But money, guns, and lawyers and tenacity, they can't stop us, Dan. They cannot stop us. So, again, I'm not begging for money, but we need some serious financing to kick this thing off the ground. And we probably need about $5 million. Is my estimate on the business plan, Dan. I went ahead and put together a business model. I went ahead and put together a trust. I went ahead and plotted out a 20-acre piece of land in simulation and mapped out the water, the communications. It's a work in progress. But, Dan, that's not a lot of money in today's world. And if someone was willing to look at my business plan and finance this mission, we could get this done.
Yeah, with the talent that we have available to us, and there's more talent coming in every day, trust me, we would be working for ourselves to do something good instead of in this absolutely sick and demented political correctness BS that's out there today. So you turn a bunch of white men and women loose with all their creative talents, Lord knows where it would go. So you're right. We're asking for somebody who wants to invest that will get a return on their investment. This isn't a gift. This is simply something to seed what we're trying to do and get us started with the idea that there will be a return on their investment. It's not a gift.
Well,
we're not
asking
anybody.
Look at Tesla. Tesla's going down, and he used other people's money to become the man he is. And I'm not going to trash Tesla. Actually, it's Tesla Incorporated. What's his name? Whatever.
Elon Musk?
Yes, sir. Thank you. You know, if we had one-eighth of the investment money he's garnered for this project, we would be dangerous. I mean dangerous, not in a warfare. I mean, we would be offering a lot of people solace, happiness, and ability to shake the worry off, and be able to produce what their God-given talents are. And frankly, Dan, most of the people we know are already polished in their
talents.
Well,
that's my point. That's right.
We've
already been through the ringer. We've already been tested. We've been through the training. I've been in training my entire life. I can't remember when I was not in training. So we got a whole bunch of talent. We got a whole bunch of ability, a whole bunch of knowledge. We just need to put it together and work as a team. That's my goal. I want to be in the center of a team of righteous men and women who want to work like a family. That's what's missing in this world. Everybody's out for themselves. Everybody's backstabbing, thinking if they put dirt on this person, the boss is going to... No. We sink or swim as a family. I want to read a text. I just got a text from my Navy buddy, who happens to run his own business, which is manufacturing guns and ammunition, by the way. But he says that Tucker Carlson is doing a segment on the farm seizures in South Africa and how the U.S. State Department is cheering about it. So how about that? Our government, our outlaws, our critters in Washington are cheering the white farmers of South Africa having their land stolen by the blacks in charge today. Yep.
Yeah, and our old, what's her name, Ginsburg, the old 86, 89.
The witch.
She came on, yeah, and she said, you know, the Constitution is stale. We need to rewrite it much like South Africa, Dan. See, you know what? I'm a passive man. But if that happens, I'm going to get up out of this broadcast chair. I'm going to strap on my Springfield.
Easy.
And, okay, yeah.
Easy,
anyway.
Brother. Easy,
brother. Yeah, I know,
yep.
Brother.
Yeah,
but
just,
you know what? Back to what you said, I agree. There's so many people that are educated, could put a hand into a community, and we all just live happy. Live happy. We have water. We have fuel. We have whatever, and we have farming and talent, go ahead, sir.
Well, here's the other beautiful thing. We're going to invent things. We're going to attract people that have either already invented or who will come up with new inventions. This is going to turn into something huge. All right. I think Father's going to dump blessings on this effort like there's no tomorrow. If we just get off our ass and make a move to go there, that's it.
That's why I have adapted that house. I've already sent the plans to that house, and I told you, the computers go upstairs. We have a meeting room, but it is a central command for telecom and, you know, making sure everything's going good and blah, blah, blah. But what stops us from having an engineering lab?
Nothing stops us.
Blowing the Chinese out there. You know, Dan, fuck Apple. I had a long conversation with Apple because my senior partner is going on a hiking trip in Sweden and Italy and blah, 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 blah. And he and I got to chatting. He goes, yeah, their new iPhone, it's great. It's 5G and it's, you know, there's no more button and it's all facial recognition. And you know what? I had a good conversation with the guy, but I said, look, man, I've been a techie for over 40 years. And no, I am not going to use a phone that I have to stare into to enable. Oh, Jim, that's great, he says. You know, we got Google Beat. Bear with me. You still there?
Yep.
I heard a click. Okay. He said, if you're 18 years old and you have a ball cap on and sunglasses, we can still identify you, and if it goes 40 years, we can I mean, this guy was off on the fact that he could crawl up my ass.
Hey,
and he was a good guy.
What's the road to hell paved with? Convenience.
The road to hell is paved
with convenience. That's how Satan gets you to buy into it.
Well, that's where Father let me come down the road I did and cut it off in 2007. I haven't really put out any code or new product other than my international project that you and I talked about, which has been up and running for years, which is going to be a funding source for us. But, Dan, I used to love to write code and be challenged and, wow, this is going to be great. And if I get a dollar from everybody out there, it's affordable, and I can get paid for my tireless nights here in the lab. Dan, I'm personally, and I'll say this on air, I'm challenged. Because everything that I loved about my field is now about to screw over us. And, Dan, I'm going to say this live on air. I can't do that. I cannot do that. There are certain things I will not do for money. 5G is horrible. I'm not going to ever, in the meetings I sit in, it's very difficult because I'm risking everything I've invested in this latest international thing and not buying on to 5G. 5G is horrendous. Horrendous.
Well, that's why the Antichrist forces are pushing it so much. We haven't heard from Curtis in a while. I don't want to be rude here. Curtis,
No. Go ahead. I don't mean to ramble, but go ahead.
Hey, Curtis.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. I just wondered, though, if you had anything you wanted to say. We were sort of hogging up the air there.
Oh, not at all. It's very useful information. I'm glad that our people can communicate and have a venue of organizing our ideas. There's some good ideas.
Okay, excellent. All right, well, just jump in if you do have something. You won't hurt our feelings. Well, okay. Well, the thing of it is, you said people were asking what we can do. We just came up with some ideas right there. We're open to anybody contacting us. You can go to PastorDan.net. You can go to BankVersusUTV.com and get a hold of Jimmy. If you've got an idea, we're certainly willing to entertain it. In the meantime, we're going to keep it in prayer. And, you know, every door that the Father opens, we're ready to run through it. So that's all we're waiting for. We've got a team of individuals. You haven't even met them all, Jimmy. I've only let you meet a small handful. I've got a whole drawer full of names and people that I've contacted all over the United States, some of them in other countries, that want to be part of the project. And all of them are talented. All of them are our people. All of them are Radamanthine men and women. They love the Father. They love justice. They love our people. And they're sick of this upside-down world we live in and just want a chance to whatever years that Father gives us, to live the way a white man and a white woman were supposed to live. Wouldn't that be something? To actually live the way God intended instead of this sick, demented, never-ending flood of electronic toys to keep us mesmerized and off target. I mean, our people have become so soft in the head and the heart that they're being led to the slaughter. They don't even know it. But they're having a grand time doing it, so as they get ready to be marched up on the gallows, they'll get to play with their 5G phone and maybe have a laptop sitting there and play a game right before they put the noose around their neck. I, on the other hand, hey, I grew up on a farm in Pennsylvania with next to nothing. I mean, I grew up in a time when there wasn't even a pager on your belt loop. A cassette tape player was high-tech to us. And most of these kids today don't even know what a cassette tape is, but that was the highest-tech thing I saw as a child growing up was a cassette tape player.
That was after 8-track, right?
After 8-track, yeah. The 8-tracks and cassettes, that was about the highest-tech thing that came out then. We still played LP records and vinyl 45s and LP records. That was the greatest form of entertainment you could have because the television set was broke more than it worked. The old tube-type televisions were broke more than they worked. So I'm used to it. Going back to it won't bother me. Spartan living, much closer to nature, much more simpler, better built products, maybe fewer of them, but they're better built. They last for generations. Cast iron skillets. Like I said, I've got my mother's cast iron skillet, which was given to her by her mother, so it goes clear back to my grandparents. They built things to last, and there's nothing wrong with that. So we got a long way to go.
Don't ever take away my cast iron skillets, man. I season them, back to basics.
Yeah, wouldn't it be neat to go into a farmhouse where there's a big old country kitchen and the cast iron skillets are up on racks overhead and cooking on a wood fire or a gas fire? And I mean, come on, man. I grew up with that stuff. A cold winter day, and you're freezing your ass off, and you come in from the barn.
Hey, you come into our community kitchen, I'll throw you down the best ham and cheese omelets. Go on, get in the
ham.
Field. Well, you know, I know, Dan. Let's see. Okay.
Get a little mental
cheese omelet.
There.
Yeah. But... you know, and then for lunch, this, that, and the other. And then dinner, you know, you have a good, whatever. But at the end of the day, you see where I'm going?
Yep.
You know, the people in the mess hall are going to keep you fed. During the off hours, there's berries and melons and whatever, and that's what the girls can do. It's funny. You busted me on the bacon wrap plays.
Yeah, that's all right. That's my job. We got Curtis, I think, was trying to say something. Go.
Yeah, people needed to be people needed to be godly and friendly to each other as a necessity to live. You had to be nice in the old days. It wasn't just time you could just be selfish and keep to yourself. You worked for the community or else. No cassette tapes, no CDs, no computers, no networking. Phones were hard to come by. It took a lot of money to call state to state. So you had to get along with your neighbor and be friendly or else you were done. And so it was a necessity to live by Yahweh's laws.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Curtis, you're talking about the party line. Yeah. And when you picked up the phone, and let's say Dan and his person was talking, you had the respect to gently lay down the receiver, is what my dad taught me. Okay? My first number was 727-525-1959. I'll never forget it. And you had no choice. And then you got the private line. And then, gentlemen, if you had an extension phone, you were somebody. Remember that stuff, guys? Yeah.
Yep,
but
I
the
remember.
Party line, I'm going to shut up after this, but remember, the respect factor was if I picked up the phone as a child, my dad taught me to, okay, somebody's using the phone, and gently hang the phone up so I didn't have that bang or that click of the relay. My God, if we told that to our kids today, they'd look at us like we were fucking batshit crazy, man.
Yeah, but that's the whole problem. The world has gone ape over technology. They've created a cult-like science and a cult-like love for anything that's technological. My buddy told me a long time ago from Tennessee that technology is not our friend. And I sort of laughed at him way back then, but as we've progressed over the decades, it's turned out that he was more right than wrong. Technology is not necessarily our friend. It's making us
lazy. You are so correct. And may I recall, I want people to hear this, because you and I were together in a forum, and we were in a meeting, and I left my seat to go to the restroom. Okay, I have to bring this out because this is such relevance. I came back to my seat. It was obvious my laptop was there, my drink was there, you guys were there, and someone had come in and put her handbag on my chair. And Dan, you were there. I respectfully said, well, I'm sorry, but I'm sitting here. And she tried to debate with me. Okay, and then, what I'm doing is putting out the fact that the kids don't have any respect. She was probably 25, maybe 30. And she got pissed off and went down and bitched out the waiter. You remember that, Dan?
Yeah, I know.
My point to that is, if my father would have ever seen me treat a human being like that, I would be part of the drywall. And frankly, back then it was plaster. But that sent me a message, ladies and gentlemen. And she was absolutely this pretentious, frickin' undereducated, overbearing witch. And if you would substitute the W with a B, because this is a family show. And if my parents ever saw me act that way, Dan and Cliff, I would be part of the plaster. And yeah. See, therein lies our challenge. And I'll yield here. And we... we can fix this, but the anomaly of the problem is really not the problem. It is our generations, our kids. Dan and I are close in age, Cliff. I don't know how old you are, sir, but, you know, if I saw my daughter act like that, I would probably pull her aside and say, honey, I taught you better. What the fuck was that about? Puck. Yeah. You see, guys?
Yeah.
So I'm going to yield after this, Dan, I promise. Instead of trying to fight that and battle it and fix it, we have got to build the Ark City. We have got to bring our people together. Anyone that thinks this way, Dan and I have talked about, yeah, we're going to have personalities and issues, yada, yada, yada. But I'll tell you what, Dan, if that was my daughter that treated us the way she did,
yep.
Well, I'll leave that to your imagination, and I yield.
Yep. Curtis, did you have anything more? Because we're getting ready to come to an end here.
Oh, I adjourn. I've been a good night.
Oh, all right. Very good. Well, Yahweh bless, and, stay safe there in that great state of Texas, Republic of Texas down there. A lot of good people in Texas. I've lived there twice. Up around Abilene one time, and then near Granbury, just below Dallas-Fort Worth another time. So I know a little bit about Texas, good state. So take care, and Yahweh bless. I'll go ahead and mute you then, buddy.
Take care. Good night.
All right, Jimmy, any closing comments before I close this in prayer?
No, sir, and thank you for making me part of your show. Dan, I love you big. You need something, call me. And with that, sir, Yahweh bless. I look forward to your closing prayer.
All right, buddy. Yahweh bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. I know we got kind of long in the tooth there as far as discussion tonight, but it's all good material from the heart. We do covet your prayers, especially for Mike, but also for us and what we're trying to do. We're simple guys. It's a simple thing we're trying to do. Basically, we just want to give everybody a alternative. Right now, we don't seem to have very many alternatives. The enemy keeps wanting to take away our ability to think outside the box and to live outside the box. And we don't want to go down with the ship. Yahweh's getting ready to bring this earth system to a screeching halt. As it was in the days of Noah, he provided an ark. That was the idea behind this. It's an opportunity for you to come out of Babylon, just as the people with Noah decided to get up out of that city of dirt and the cesspool activities, and they went up and built the ark, and when the time came, they got into the ark. Well, it's the same concept for us. Just giving you an opportunity. It won't be for everybody, but if you're tired of this world, if you're tired of the make-believe and the superficial, if you're tired of the liars and the players, then this is what we want to build for those people who want to come out of it. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we thank you for our time together. We also thank you for Jimmy and the good folks at Bank vs. UTV. We thank you for our listeners here and all those that will listen later on by downloads. We are your children, Father. We're trying. We're crying out to you. We're not perfect people. We have a lot to be ashamed of, that's for sure. We do ask that the blood of Christ be poured over those transgressions to cleanse us as you have promised. Put them into the sea of forgetfulness. Turn us into the righteous creatures that we were meant to be. Give us the right leading. Give us the right hearts that we would go forward. And that we could put our minds and hearts together to build this thing and then watch you bless it. If this be of you, then we ask that you'd give each and every one of us a Holy Spirit, as Jimmy calls them, Jesus bumps, a testifying of the Spirit to the truth of the matter, and then we'll go forward from there. We ask you to watch out for our men and women in uniform all over this earth. They're being used, and they need to be protected. We ask for the good folks that are in law enforcement and trapped in a bad system, that they would also be watched over. We've had enough innocent bloodshed, Father. There's enough of this turmoil, enough of this cesspool that this world has become. We want to make it a different place. We want it to be the new world and the new Jerusalem. We want to cleanse it. And if you'll be with us, then who can be against us? And we trust you with all our hearts. We want to go forward. Please bless us. Please guide us. Again, forgive us when we stumble and fall. Lift us up. Give us a stiff backbone and protect us from our enemies. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.